And so we respond according to our text that it is not doctrine which causes division, but specifically false doctrine which causes division. That's where we run into problems, when we go down false roads. Note those who cause divisions and offenses, that is, those who teach and subscribe to false doctrine, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Now, to illustrate this, anybody ever hear of Sir Isaac Newton? Probably everybody has, right? He's the gravity guy, the guy who wrote it down, right? They always understood that there was gravity, because if you didn't believe in gravity back in the days of before the flood, let's say, the pre-Noahic days, it got you into a lot of trouble. It probably got you dead if you didn't believe in gravity and you went up on the mountain and decided to test it. So if you didn't believe in gravity, you'd be a fool, right? Kind of like if you don't believe in God, you'd be a fool. It's in the book. I didn't say it. God said it. Fool says it's in heart, in his heart. There is no God, both in his heart and practically. There's two applications to that verse. So now, if I take that text and I go read Sir Isaac Newton and I say, you know what? Doctrine's really not that important. I understand that Sir Isaac Newton's got a point. There's such a thing as gravity. I agree, and that's all I want to talk about is that gravity exists. But my doctrine of Sir Isaac Newton's writing, my understanding of this is that gravity only exists on Tuesdays. And you look at me and you say, James, I don't think so. The truth written down here, the scientific truth, that is obvious. Gravity is a law of nature. It exists all the time. And so we walk up to the steeple. I say, I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you. You know what? Doctrine doesn't really matter. We can agree there's gravity. But I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to go walk up to the top of the steeple. And I'm going to show you that on a Sunday, gravity only works on Tuesday. And you say, oh boy. So you call the paramedics. And they're quick, right? The paramedics are, you know, we love the first responders, you know, in the city. They do a great job. And so here they are, they're quick. They're quick. They get there, but by the time I do, because I'm not all that smart. So instead of taking the ladder, I climb up the side of the building. So it takes me a while to do that. You walk up the ladder. They're a little smarter than me. So we get up to the top, and then by the time we get there, I come down, and there are the paramedics, and they got this thing here, and it, you know, the net, and I fall down, and boom. Now, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm going to live through it. I'm going to live through it because I understood the basic law. I accepted that there was gravity. But I'm going to bear some consequences, and I'm going to be a little sore for a little while. Because that 100-foot fall, even though it was broken by the little top that they put out, even though I'm going to live, I'm going to be a little sore. Now, it's the same way with Christian truth. Same way with Christian truth. If we have our doctrine straight, we're going to know not to fall into error, and we're not going to hurt ourselves along the way unnecessarily by following wrong roads. Now, Scripture itself speaks of the importance of learning Bible doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for what? For doctrine. It's the first part of that cardinal verse that speaks of the all-sufficiency of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture. Not just the New Testament. Not just the parts we like. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. God's church must be a bastion of good doctrine. A place where the Great Commission command to make disciples is carried out effectively. Now, making disciples begins with the faithful preaching of the gospel. But making disciples continues with the teaching of all things that Jesus Christ has taught. The objective truth in this book. It must be a place where great truths are not only taught, but lived out. This is our sort of training ground as we prepare to go out into the world. The understanding of biblical doctrine is essential for Christian growth and maturity. We have it written in the book of Hebrews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now we talk about the aspects of Christian salvation, and there are three, and I've taught this before, because I want you to understand these theological truths with regard to salvation. Salvation takes place in three parts. First, justification. The moment we believe upon Jesus Christ, the moment we only trust Him in faith, we are justified. We are declared just before a holy God. And at that point, the Holy Spirit seals our salvation, and a place in heaven is made secure for us. Having been justified, we look forward to the day when we'll be glorified. That is, when we'll be made fit to be in the very presence of Christ in a marvelous way. These things are a great mystery. The Bible has much to say about them, but it leaves much unsaid. There are so many marvelous things with relation to the doctrine of glorification. Everything in between is sanctification. Sanctification is the aspect of salvation where we become more and more Christ-like, where we become more and more holy. How do we become Christ-like? By learning His will for us, through prayer, through understanding His truth, and wisely discerning it. What was happening in the churches, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, what was going on is that people were getting the basics and they weren't learning anything else. They were lazy. And all they were going back to their own ways. They weren't interested in God's truth. They were interested in fire insurance. But they weren't interested in maintaining the house. All they cared about was that the house wouldn't burn down. They didn't care whether or not the house would be maintained unto the glory of Jesus Christ, who bought them and bought them at a price. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. Many times we don't go forward because of fear. What will the world think of me if I become a serious disciple of Jesus Christ? What's that guy on the next machine gonna think? If I show up to work and I read my Bible on my break, what are they gonna think of me in the supermarket? If I walk in there with a t-shirt on that affirms my faith? Do you fear men more than God? I would that it be so that none of you here fear men more than God. And so it's the philosophy of this church, in accordance with the Great Commission that we go out into the world, that we not only proclaim our faith in these four walls, but that we go out and we minister in the parks, that we go out and we walk through the city, handing out bottles of water to those who thirst, offering the gospel in prayer to those who need it and are willing. Finally, the best defense against error is knowing the truth. This is what we understand theologically as apologetics. Apologetics simply means defending your Christian faith. The verse that's commonly used as a text verse, or as a text verse, yeah, for the subject of apologetics, is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason that is in you, for the hope that is in you, excuse me, with meekness and fear." Let's look at the whole verse. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, a lot of people miss this. This part of the verse is missed in many teachings, even in the seminaries. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Sanctify, we talked about sanctification, right? The process of becoming more holy, of becoming more Christ-like, of living a life glorifying to He who bought us. How do we do that? How do we do that? You want to know how to be sanctified? We're commanded to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. How do we do that? We'll read John 17, 17. "Sanctify them by your truth." That's Jesus Christ in His high priestly prayer, praying to God the Father. Who's He talking about? His disciples. Not only the 12 or the 11, but all of us. "Sanctify them by your truth." How are we set apart? By knowing God's truth. How do we know God's truth? By opening God's book. By reading it. By meditating on it. By memorizing it. Friends, read your Bible more frequently than any other book. It's the best advice I can give you. This is the starting point. So many read all kinds of books about the Bible and don't read the Bible very much. This is the starting point. Now we come to the second part of the verse. "Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for reason for the hope that is in you." Be prepared to clearly explain the gospel at all times. Be prepared to give a clear defense of the gospel when someone attacks it for whatever reason. Gently, humbly, with the reverent fear of God, being careful not to misrepresent Him. And if you're afraid you might misrepresent the Lord, say, "I'll get back to you with the answer." It's okay to say, "I don't know." No matter where you are in your Christian understanding. Again, I say the best defense against error is knowing the truth. Christian, you are not called to know every false doctrine that's out there. You are not called to know what the atheist believes, what the Mohammedan believes, what the Hindu believes, what the Buddhist believes. Maybe you can familiarize yourself a little bit with what they believe. But the Bible doesn't say, know every false teaching out there. The Bible simply tells us to know the truth. And if we know the truth, we're going to be able to speak effectively to every false teaching that comes. Again, there are many good reference books available which expose false teachings. The Kingdom of the Cults is one, by Walter Martin. But given a choice, if I'm convicted in my heart that I need to get better at defending my Christian faith and witnessing the gospel to those who are in darkness. And I've got a choice between reading Kingdom of the Cults or reading the New Testament once more. I'm going to read the New Testament because I'm going to have a better defense than I would if I simply read all of the false things that are out there. If you know the truth, you're going to see the error the minute you see it. When you turn on the TV and you see that guy saying, "You must be baptized to be saved." Click. Because you know that baptism is of grace through faith and not of works, and that baptism is a work. And that baptism follows salvation, like B follows A. But that it's not necessary for salvation. Take heed to read your scriptures daily. Take heed to pray daily and meditate upon them. To meditate this word, to hide this word in your heart, as the psalmist tells us to do. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My prayer of you and of this assembly is that it may be said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Following this, we'll have a time of fellowship. We'll offer one another the sign of peace. And then our brother will bring the communion devotional, and we'll share the Lord's table together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. Lord God, bless and superintend every detail of the remainder of our service on our day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.